It's Tuesday evening, April 20th.
Lord, we ask for your blessing on our meeting tonight, that your truth would flow, Lord. Cause your truth to flow, Lord. That we would have ears for your truth. That if it's comes from someplace else, we would know that that's not you. Give us that ear tonight and all times, Lord, by your Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
By your Spirit.
Amen.
Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
I have something I'd like to share. I was thinking about that scripture. Well, it's Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. It's about loving the Lord. Moses said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." And I think, you know, it's in the Gospels, too. In the Gospels, they add, "and with all your mind." But, you know, I was thinking about that. And those are interesting things to love the Lord with. You know, all your strength. It's like your body or something, you know? And, how do you get your body to love the Lord? Get your heart to go out of the heart, I guess, but, you know. But all your soul, you know, but all your strength. And if you're gonna love Him, you have to know Him. You know? So you have to know God with all your love. Know the Lord with all your strength.
Well, you know how they say
body.
He has a lot of inner strength. So I don't think it's always like muscle or whatever.
Yes.
There's a thing
it's
of
a
strength.
Determination or something.
Yeah.
In any event, it's not a brain.
Even so, yes.
You know.
Even so.
and I think... you know, and it's the same with the Word. You've got to love the Word. You've got to know the Word with all your heart, your soul, your strength.
Sure.
That's how, you know.
Yeah.
That's
a good point.
And it's like love the Word with your body, almost, you know. Know the Word with your body. Although you're right about strength, it does refer to determination or something too. But and we're kind of doing that stuff. We're in that direction.
Yes, I was going to say that.
Yeah, but it is a work of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah,
and it certainly doesn't. It doesn't emphasize the brain, the mind. Deuteronomy doesn't say anything about the mind. They added that on in the Gospels. I'll check my name's topical Bible here. it says, "Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength." Throw in mine, but that's certainly not emphasized. Your mind, you know, it's just one of the things. And you know, I think if the Lord tells us to do something, that's a commandment. Then there has to be a way of doing that.
Yeah,
you know, with all the
But the thing is, how do you do any of those without your mind being involved?
Yeah.
know, I think that one of the, that we've heard those scriptures for years, but by having an ongoing relationship with the Word of God, our mind is becoming involved. My mind is becoming involved.
It's involved. Would you call it the primary thing? I would hope that it, I mean, I think it's the work of the Holy Spirit that really shines the light. Yeah. And your mind certainly,
you know,
has an element.
Well, there's the spiritual mind, so I don't know where that comes in. You know, it's...
He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon him.
Which would be like a decision, kind of.
That's a scripture somewhere.
Sure.
And I don't know how you're going to be involved in the Word like we are without our mind being saturated.
But it's not only the mind. I think what we're doing, when we have the scriptures running 24/7, the mind is involved, but the Spirit is doing something in us.
Yeah. You know, it says in the King James it says the Word was made flesh. In some of the other translations, it says the Word became flesh. And either way, it doesn't matter. And I think that that God's intent for all of us was the word to become flesh. Until we are the Word, just like Christ was the Word. It's not that we are yet, but I think it's God's intent. You know, there's a scripture that, I think it's in Peter, I'm not sure where it is, it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Is it in Peter? Where is it?
I think it is.
Sounds right. I was going to comment your other scripture that you referenced is Isaiah 26:3, which is the one that you quoted a moment ago.
He will keep him in perfect peace.
Yeah, King James is, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. And so then the New King James cleans it up a little bit and says, you will keep him in perfect peace. Oh, it says the same thing. Whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Yeah, it gets rid of a thee. And then the New American Standard Bible says, the steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. I wanted to go back to your comment about the mind a little bit because I fight a lot to try and make sure I'm not thinking. For overthinking, you know. And you asked a good question. Well, how can you diligently, steadfastly go after listening to the Word and then having it impact you and not having it impact your mind? And what came to me was we can't overlook how faith works in all of that. I mean, to me, and I'm speaking for me, I tend to, when I see something that I don't know that I understand, but it's scriptural, I just go, I don't know what this is, because God hasn't revealed it to me, but in faith, I take it as truth. So I bypass my brain as much as I can until God reveals it to me, and I just stand on faith. So I'm trying not to stand on my mind, I'm trying to stand more on faith. That's an approach I've been trying to take.
Yeah, and you know, if it was the mind, he wouldn't have said, "What he reveals it unto babes and hides it from the wise and the prudent." You know, that's Now, you're not saying it's mostly the mind or only the mind or anything, you know. But the mind is an element to it, though. We do not trust too much in our mind, but...
No, if you do, you forget about watching TV.
Well, all I know is that my mind gets deceived. I have faith that my faith does not.
Yeah.
And that might be skating right on the edge of not smart either. Work out your own fear.
Salvation.
Yeah. Let's see. I had it.
You know,
it's actually it's Philippians 2:12. That's why I want to speak up.
If it says meditate on the Lord.
Yeah.
So that involves.
You gotta be thinking somehow, right?
Yeah, but see, the more you have the Word in you, the more your mind is on the Word, not natural things. So it is. So that's where, to me, where, you know, you got to realize you have two minds. One's a natural and one's a spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we want the spiritual mind to be developed, mm-hmm. you know, because that would be thinking on the things of God all the time, you know. And that's not you. That's not your natural, you know, mm-hmm. that's something that's been put in you. You know, I didn't think that way near as much as I do now, 10, 15 years ago, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I too want to be real careful and don't try figuring things out. Or, you know, thinking. And I don't think that's what you were referring to, Keith. I think you were referring to, I hope, what I was saying there, where your mind is on the Lord, you know. And the more you have the Word, the more you're thinking the Word, you know, and whatever.
The easier it is to stay on the Lord.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think the heart plays a
big part.
Right.
Yeah.
Somehow it. And it says soul, whatever. Whatever the soul. Whatever the soul does. I don't know what the soul does exactly, but.
And I. I think that's why that revelation or that came about, you know, when I have a heart for the truth is so important.
Love for the truth.
Yeah.
Oh, love for the truth.
Yeah. So, well, same thing. You got to have a heart for it.
And then he that has an ear,
yeah.
You know, having a
yeah.
Having an ear for, you know.
It goes back to your spiritual brain. He was a spiritual ear. Because how often do we hear something and we don't hear it at all? And then the Holy Spirit comes along and we go, oh, that's what that's saying.
It's a funny thing, you know, you mentioned that, Charlie, but in each of the seven churches at the end of the church, it says that.
Yeah.
He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Or to the churches. You know? And, well, everybody has an ear.
Well, yeah, and it.
But not necessarily.
That gets quoted where they have ears to hear, but they don't hear.
Yeah.
And they have eyes to see, and they don't see, you know?
Sure.
Yeah. Well, another way of expressing exactly what you're saying, there's natural minded and then there's spiritual minded.
Yeah.
You know, that scripture there in John 18 where Jesus is talking to Pilate, he says, those who are of the truth
hear my voice.
They hear his voice.
Yeah.
Of the truth. Well, I don't know if that means a really good mind. I don't know. They're of the truth, somehow or other. Of the truth.
Is that a really good heart, soul, and inner strength.
I'm not aware of this thing is that it's of the truth.
And Wyatt does talk about a walk, right? It's sort of implying their walk.
But I would love to have a body that loves the Lord. I would love to have people see me, say that guy, he knows the Lord, or you know, there's something about him that is God, or some, you know.
I don't think that would be something emanating from your body necessarily.
I don't know.
It'd be something emanating from your spirit and your heart.
Spirit, yeah.
I mean, you know, it says, you see me, you see, you know, well, you're not seeing a physical form, really. Yeah.
Try to tease these things out. You can't do it. You know, same like trying to make the Bible consistent. Ain't going to happen.
Well, yeah, and maybe another way to say that is I would really, really hope I could get to the place that people could see God dwelling within me by my walk, my testimony, and how I share
your actions.
But it would be the Spirit.
Yeah, but it's it would the be the Spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe, yeah, it's not me and however I'm wearing my hair that day,
right,
or not, you know. It's interesting, you know, the scriptures go to a pretty good length to downplay Jesus physically to make sure there was no natural attraction. I mean, it basically implied that he wasn't very attractive, he wasn't overly, he wasn't big, he wasn't strong, he was just, you know, not a whole lot to hang your hat on, yet, because he spoke the words of eternal life, he's the most important flesh that ever walked.
Yeah, they always have a pretty good looking Jesus in everything that's portrayed.
It would be real refreshing to see a homely Jesus.
Yes, it would. It would wake people up a little.
Mm-hmm.
And then have in there quoting the things out of Isaiah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
As a testimony of him, you know.
Yeah.
You know, this discussion, I guess if you want to say a discussion, you don't want to make it sound natural, but what we're doing here tonight is really a big step in actually the whole gospel spiritual realm, distinguishing between what comes out as what's godly, you know, and what's not, you know, and that it's mostly spirit and heart, and, you know, that's a big deal because people don't have that concept. It's all appearance.
They don't. That's right.
You know?
That is so right.
Yeah. And that's a big line there that distinguishes the most of the church. You know, I mean, and we're still coming out of it, of course. But, you know, to be thinking in those terms that that's what you want to be is so different than what's portrayed out of most pulpits.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah, there's nothing other than mind stuff and then some the things that don't make sense.
Yeah, the mind. It doesn't matter how nicely dressed you are or how good looking you are or how much education you got or how much seminary you went or, you know, none of that's what's important. None of it.
So that's right.
Well, I think when you start out talking about a scripture that says, all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy might, it's a pretty all-encompassing, I mean.
Kind of the whole deal, isn't it?
And you look at that, I mean, that
could pretty much humble you.
That scripture, that scripture, it looks, yeah, I mean, that's when the comment was made like, I gave you the law and you couldn't live it. And you look at that and you go, well, yeah, because I can't do all of anything for very long. That's incredibly. And the other thing that you come away with is there's nothing that's yours. It's all his.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing that's yours. I mean, you owe him your life. You he gave you life. And so the little things, the trinkets that we gather while we're here, you know, he made a way for those to be created, and you get pretty excited about that, you know, and whatever. And, I just keep telling myself, none of this is eternal. You know, none of this is eternal. It really helps me when I'm wishing I had something, and I go, it's not eternal.
Yeah.
You know, when we hear, we look at Paul as an exception, and he was. But he makes some strange statements, you know, like in the 7th chapter of Romans, you know, where he says, the good that I would, I do not, and the evil that I would not, that I do. We know that, try as you would, you're going to fail. And God is not really he's not, the word's not offended, that's not the right word, but he's not turned away from us because of our failures. He expects failure. In his eyes, it has to be failure. Because none of us are righteous enough that he says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased.
We all fall short.
We all fall short.
Save one.
Of God.
Yeah, save one.
There are none righteous, no, not one. So it's not our failures. It's our...
Although it is, but no, I mean, it isn't.
It's our rising up out of the failure.
It's an inevitable failure.
By his strength.
But...
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's recognizing that you have failed, and then you call on him, you know?
Yes. Heaven forbid that we should try to pretend we're not failing when we are.
Right.
That's...
Which is a big thing.
Yeah.
That is a real big deal.
Yeah. We're just fine.
Yeah.
Right.
We're doing just fine.
And getting back to that scripture... When it says, you know, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Yeah,
you have to have a good reason for having fear and trembling.
Yeah, because you have to know that you're failing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And but you can't let the failure stop you.
Fine. Right.
And that's kind of short. That was Peter. He failed. And he was accused of being the devil and all kinds of things. And when he told Jesus, he said, what about him? He's talking about John, John the Beloved. You know that Jesus was not really excited, it was not happy about that statement. He says, if I let him live until I come, what is that to you if you follow me?
Yeah, that was a pretty harsh. It was like, you have no say in this.
Yeah. And even when Paul rebuked Peter, you don't find Peter falling apart over it.
Or even defending himself.
And yeah. That's the thing about the meekness of Jesus, of who he was. He didn't have to defend himself. And neither do we. Although the inner man likes to defend.
Well, Yeah, I think my own opinion. I have often thought the reason those scriptures are in there was to illustrate how you would normally react and how Jesus reacted, which was not normal.
Yeah. I mean, certainly not the natural man.
Certainly not within the natural man.
That's a good point.
I mean, it was because, don't you know I could? And he goes, no, he can't. And then, you know, and then they lay all these accusations at him. He says, well, aren't you going to say anything? And he goes, no, not even going to bother. No, the natural man, the natural brain in mind kicks in and goes, well, if you know you can't really get hurt, you know, if you know you got the power of God dwelling within you, it's kind of like, I don't need to worry about this, so I don't know. And I don't know how much he really knew. I mean, the comment about if it's possible that this cup can pass for me certainly makes you think that he was not fully aware of what the plan was. You know, but then, you know, he demonstrated his faith.
He was only aware enough so that he could live for the Father.
He had enough faith to, no matter what it was, you know.
It's kind of like with the disciples, though. He had lapses. Because you know he had a vision from the start of what he was going to be somewhat, or not right from the start, but, you know, he had insight to who he was and what he was going to do for the Father, why he was sent. But then that would fade, it would go away at times, I think.
True.
I think the Lord would pull it away so that he would have to stand on his own, you know.
Yeah. Just like it happens to us.
Yeah.
I mean, the comment when he was 12, he says, you know I have to be about my Father's business. And he's saying that to Joseph. So, I mean, he's telling Joseph in a way that Joseph knows that you're not my father. Now, he didn't disrespect them, but he says, you know I have to be about my Father's business. So at 12, he had insights, right? There are some... And then, of course, then there's this 18-year gap, and we the next time when we start talking, it's when he's 30, basically. I don't know if there's any, you can recall
your
something.
Your arithmetic is correct.
Well, I don't recall anything between
those
two points. You know, it was like he went off and he learned the trade of being a carpenter, I imagine.
I guess so.
But to your point, that's the illustration that I use, that at 12, he was in the synagogue because he knew that's where he needed to be to preach. And so at a fairly young age, he had insights.
I read, I was jumping around reading some stuff, and I was reading about the times when Jesus was tempted. And I was just thinking about it here today, and I got a little concept that, and it's the last one. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me. All will be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship. So I was sitting here and I'm going, wow. So all of the natural world is actually under the devil. Mm-hmm. Why are we supposed to be so wary of that natural world? Mm-hmm. You know?
Sure.
And look at how much impact it has on humanity.
Yeah.
And it's been given to them. You know, I mean, and I thought, well, gee, Lord, why would you do that? And then it's like, well, you know, because I want to know who mine are. I want to have those who don't want that. Well, they want me.
Yes,
you
yes,
know.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Who can stand the temptation of the natural and stay focused on the eternal?
Which is big time because it's everywhere.
And it's hard. Because it's hard to overcome the natural man.
It may be that Satan was making a bigger claim of ownership than what he was fully entitled to.
Why would you say that?
Huh?
Why would you say that?
Why? Because he's a liar.
Yeah, but he must have knew, and Jesus didn't correct him.
No, it's true that Jesus didn't correct him. Yeah. But Jesus, the Lord's Prayer says, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So God has some kind of role, in the thing. I don't know. Maybe Satan happened to be making a true statement there, but I don't. We don't say, "Well, Satan said it, so it's got to be true." You know.
Well, no, not necessarily. I mean, but look at how often he has such insights in, even though he doesn't have the truth, actual truth of the scriptures. He knows how to use against our natural.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only way he ever gains any authority is through the natural.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. He is the prince of this world.
Right.
God owns the cattle on a thousand hills, but.
Yeah, and God's still in control, so I mean,
right.
He doesn't, what Satan doesn't realize is how much he gets manipulated by God.
Yes, he's a tool in God's hand.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah.
Not that there aren't live bullets that are being shot, ones that can,
right. But it was kind of interesting. It just kind of, all of a sudden I realized, that's why this natural world is such a one to be watching, to be aware of all the time. And I'm not always. I just automatically go along and
we're in
flow with a lot of it,
We are. We're in enemy territory.
Yeah, big time. Yeah.
Behind enemy lines.
Yeah, kind of. That's about it. Yeah.
No, we should not be too comfortable here. Two at home, whatever.
I was thinking about when that reference to Romans 7, 6, 8, I read over that again here after one of our meetings pretty extensively. And it's really dealing with sin.
Remind me what
that's, where Paul's going, well, what I will to do and not to do and all that.
Yeah.
Because when you get later in it, he addresses it as sin because of the law. Without the law, I didn't have sin. I didn't know sin or whatever. And then once I got I found out that, I was,
I didn't know this was on the do not do list.
So I was kind of thinking, because at the time we were talking about deliverance and stuff. And I thought, so what is the difference between sin and demons on us? Because I thought, they're separate but that's how sin first came, because Adam listened to Satan. Eve listened to Satan. But in that 7 and 8 there, Paul's making it seem pretty much a personal responsibility. And then I just know there's something really that can set us free in that 6, 7, and 8, because there's got to be a realization. The way he says it, it's almost like, but that's my body. My body sins. My mind, my spiritual doesn't.
Well, and I thank my Lord for Jesus Christ.
Yeah, because I'm not under, there's something in there to where you don't want to take advantage, but at the same time, I think we get taken down so easily with condemnation from it that we're not. Or heaviness, maybe not always condemnation, but just feeling like, you're not free. And he's saying, but if you accept and you have the Spirit of the Lord, you're free.
Yeah.
Condemnation's a tricky one.
Oh.
Because the more you know, the easier it is for you to feel condemned.
Mm-hmm. And
the more you feel accountable.
Yeah, well, the more accountable you feel, then the more you go like, yeah, I'm failing. And the more you say, oh, I'm just a failure, the easier it is for, versus the person who happy-go-lucky goes along and goes, oh, was that something wrong? Yeah. They don't suffer from condemnation at all.
Yeah, and you know, when he's saying it, he's not necessarily repenting. He's he's saying that... He's
describing a situation.
He's lamenting.
Well, he's saying, he's kind of like putting facts.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
No, it's not me. It's not what I want to do, so that's my flesh. That's what he what he puts it to. That's my flesh. So it's kind of like, it don't count. But he obviously later he says, but do I take, I don't take advantage of grace. So as long as you're there, like all this other should not be following you around like chains, you know?
I guess not. Although he really feels bad about it.
Oh, yeah, right.
You know, it's that, he's not blowing it off.
He's expressing his frustration that he can't not do it.
Yeah,
until he gets to eight.
Yeah, right. And
you know?
And then he says, but this is how we can, overcome.
Yeah. Or even towards the end of seven.
Right.
Even towards the end of seven, chapter seven, I think,
the last
he's already starting to have, knowing the victory.
Right.
You know, the difference of it.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, it's crazy. It's like, because it says, well, temptation, you know, it's not sin until you give in to it. So that's you. Now, can demons have an effect on that? Well, they probably can. But a lot of it is up to us to turn away sin.
Yes,
you know, now you have to call on the Lord maybe for strength to do that.
Yeah.
I do. You know.
Yes.
It's
like being tempted. Not so bad if you overcome it.
Right.
I was tempted, but I said no.
Being tempted is never wrong. It's kind,
kind of like what Satan did to Jesus.
Yeah.
The fact that he was tempted was not a problem.
Right.
How he handled the temptation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
And how would you like to be tempted for 40 days by the devil? Yeah. I mean, that sounds like day and night, you know?
Day and night.
Maybe not, though. I mean, it doesn't mean, I know. It just meant he was constantly after him.
Tempted by the devil.
Yeah,
constantly. And he was out there 40 days for the purpose of being tempted by the devil.
Right.
Fasted.
And evidently it was part of that probably was it was such a battle that you didn't have time to eat or couldn't eat or whatever, you know. Some of it might have been knowing that it would help him, too.
He was led by the Spirit to go out there. So.
Yeah. So anyway, I just thought that I just thought about it for a while, and you know, it's like we can't you can't always blame the devil. Let's say, you know,
he's
there,
a powerful influence.
Well, he does, but it's it's kind of like the devil made me do it.
Thing that won't cut the mustard.
Yeah. He does make you do some things if you give in to him.
Yeah. That's instead of saying but, the day of judgment, you just say, but the devil made me do it. I think that's not going to fly
either. It ain't going to fly.
But then, you know, it does say the devil takes the captive at his will. Where is Keith? Do you remember where that is? Thought of it the wrong time.
Yeah, it's been a captive as well.
Yeah, how is that? How is that implied?
Keith, where does it say the devil takes a captive at his will?
Let me think.
Find it.
I think he's got it.
Oh, you're waiting on me? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I thought you were going to say. I think it's 2 Timothy 2:26.
Sounds right. Yeah.
The devil who has taken them captive to do his will. So.
Oh, it's implying to a certain people, right?
Well, or people who have succumbed to his temptation.
Oh,
so kind of the way I was reading it.
Maybe at some point you can't really pull your way out of the quicksand. Huh?
Yeah, yeah.
You got to stay out of the quicksand.
You've already made a decision, and you're in it. Yeah.
And the Lord knows that you're not going to change your decision, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, because, you know, it's like when he says, and he's given him over to a
reprobate
mind, you know, it's like, yeah, you get to the wrong place with God, and you're finished.
Mm-hmm. Stuck there.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2 Timothy 2:25, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God perseveres, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snares of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will.
So it does give you an opportunity.
It does give you an opportunity.
You can get loose from the snares.
You can, you know.
God's got to do it for you. But,
well,
you got to make it decision.
I think, yeah, it's kind of like once you're there, the only way out is repentance to the acknowledging of the truth.
2 Timothy 2:26 that was?
2:25 and 26.
Okay.
I think it reads a little easier in the New King.
It might. I was, yeah. I was going to, well, I didn't like the way 26 read, because it was more of a, and it ends up being the last verse of the book.
Yeah. That's,
so then that's, those tend to be kind of like a summation, and so I wanted to go back a little bit and see what.
Well, and that certainly provides the context. That is
right.
That's most definitely a case of taking it out of context and having
like
it.
Like you can go, you know, up even a few more.
Yeah, I like the. Yeah.
Yeah, but fool, you know, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do not. Knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, be patient. I mean, there's a lot going on there.
Yeah.
In humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive to him to do his will.
Right. So it's kind of like you've been tempted, you were snared, but there's a way out, and God provides that way out.
Like, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient. Be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there's a little different meaning. In the King James, it says, being taken captive at his will. Makes it sound like the devil can, it's really the devil's choice. Do I want to take this guy captive? Yeah, I think I do. So he can, you know. But that's not, I think that's a misunderstanding of it's the translation here. About all these translations are, they're taken captive to do his will, which is different from at his will.
But it's saying having been taken captive by him,
yeah,
to do his will.
It's true that it's you're captive by the devil, but when it says at his will, which is the way I think. Not the New King James, but the King James says, at his will.
Right.
Do I want to do it? I think I do. So, you know. But it sounds though the better understanding is taken captive to do his will.
You know, it's interesting.
The two is a little cleaner, although I took the original King James to imply. Once you slipped on the banana peel, you've been ensnared. And that once you're a snare, then you're doing his will because you are making bad choices.
Mm. And how do you know you're in his will? Well, let's read. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. From such people, turn away.
Yeah, those are some bad people.
Japers.
Quite a list of things that you can do.
Quite a list.
Quite a list of ensnarements.
Yeah. I was convinced to turn away from them before they got halfway through the list.
I know. It's like I kept thinking, do I keep reading? It's still going.
That is quite a list.
Was, after four verses of that, like, okay, I'm done. Yeah.
Boy, he didn't care either, though. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth.
Yeah.
Wow. Pete, Timothy. My goodness. No, that's actually Paul speaking to Timothy, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually, in Janus and
to Timothy,
and Jamborees listed Moses. It's one of the few places where they named someone who shared with Pi.
Right.
Yeah, they God made a great big hole and they fell into it.
Well, that was because of lying, right? Not admitting they had stolen, right?
So. I don't exactly know what Janus and Jamborees did. They resisted him. There were a number of people that just ended up with a bad result after just
you're on the wrong side of this.
Right. Yeah, but I remember reading about them back in Deuteronomy.
Yeah.
Okay. They stood out.
Okay.
Is this a good stopping point?
I guess so. Sure.
Sure.
Okay. We love you all.